Hey, Will, like I normally do, I just want to take a moment to tell our listeners to make sure they hit us up on social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you might see us. Make sure you're sending us something. Also, you can email us directly at appalachiameetsworld@gmail.com. If you get a moment, shoot us a line, give us some feedback.
Yeah, and wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe to Appalachia Meets World. It just helps our podcast, but it also helps you know when we're releasing a new episode.
They learned reading, writing, Route 23 to the jobs a little waiting, no six factories.
City and communities where we're hosting it, but the region as a whole. Tourism and all of that stuff is great when it's like localized, but it's even better when it's regional.
Appalachia Meets World, a podcast about place and perspective, but always Appalachia.
And don't forget, Will, tonight's episode is powered by SOAR,
shaping our Appalachian region. If you're a entrepreneur out there, especially in Eastern Kentucky, check them out. Appalachia Meets World, we're back. It's Will.
And Neil, what's up, my brother?
I wanted to ask you about your tropical vacation. You weren't with us last week. How was it?
Man, I mean, it just paradise. That's the easiest way for me to explain it. So sorry I wasn't on, but just know that I got to get away for a week with the wifey and no kids. And hopefully our listeners can relate to what kind of paradise that was. So
were you kicking it with Kenny?
He wasn't on island, you know, he's on tour right now. So I saw his house. I said, what's up? But, you know, that's about it.
Nice, nice.
How about you? I know you got some app news for me, Will. Go ahead with it.
I got a little bit this week. I wanted to mention Invest Appalachia, who we talked about on the show before, just closed the second round funding. They are now up to $35 million in their fund. They just added 16.6 to the already 18.9. 80% of that investment comes from outside Appalachia. It's very much mission aligned capital that will go into historically underinvested areas in the region. So that capital is flexible. We've talked about their pool of capital that they have. I just wanted to mention that. We'll put it in the show notes. Also, there was an article that Virginia Tech put out that we'll put in the show notes on hydrogen's future, providing energy and economic growth in Appalachia. I just found it kind of interesting. We will put that in the show notes. Another article that I saw, it was called Appalachian Stalled Revival. It was just kind of an interesting article. We talk all the time about diversifying the economy and this just transition. But even though we talk about it, a lot of the times the focus is still on big business and attracting that next big corporation. But this article kind of talks about that and the importance of diversification and how, even though we talk about it, we might not be doing it. So I just found it interesting. I'll post that. One other thing, there was an article in App Voices, who we've had on the show before, about the seven geological wonders of Appalachia. I'm going to ask you, Neil, if you've ever been to any of these seven geological wonders. The Lost Sea at Craighead Caverns in Sweetwater, Tennessee. You ever been there?
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I have been to the cave system there in Tennessee. They're roundabout. They have an incredible underground cave system throughout this corner of Appalachia in Tennessee. It's pretty incredible. Also, Flynn Creek Impact Crater. You ever heard of that? Ever been to it?
Never. Where is that located?
It's in Jackson County, Tennessee. This article has a picture of it. You can check it out, but nope, never been to it.
Huh.
Another one is the Linville Gorge in North Carolina. Ever been there?
No. Man, I'm really failing at being Appalachian.
They call it the Grand Canyon of the East. I've never been either, but it's pretty miraculous. This one's pretty cool. I've never been, but you need to check out this photo. It's in Virginia, the Natural Tunnel in Scott County, Virginia.
No, never been there either.
Yeah, the railroad tracks runs through this 100-foot-tall 850-foot long natural tunnel in Virginia. And it's truly natural. I don't even think it was man-made. It's just this hole in the mountain and these train tracks running through it. It's pretty cool. You can check that out. I know you've been here. The Natural Bridge in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley.
Yes.
Yeah, the 215-foot tall limestone wonder known as the Natural Bridge. Definitely a sight to see. I've never been here. The Cranberry Glades Botanical Area in Pocahontas County, West Virginia. You ever been there?
No, I haven't. Man, lots of places to put on my list.
I know. There's incredible places in Appalachia. We think about Appalachia being a place that, we know all about, but there's so many places that we haven't even checked out.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Here's one you have checked out, Red River Gorge.
Yes, not enough, to be honest. I mean, I feel like there's something unique and new about that place all the time. So need to check it out more often.
I totally agree. In Daniel Boone National Forest in Kentucky, for those of y'all that don't know, the last one they have on here, which I don't really consider Appalachia because it's not, it's on the outskirts, but Mammoth Cave, which I have been to.
Oh yeah, it's a great place.
I would just wanted to mention those as app news. Like you said, Neil, there's so many things in Appalachia that we haven't seen that we should definitely check out.
Another thing I wanted to mention, and I know we talked about it last week, but inside Appalachia, we were wrong last week. This week, in the midst of festival season in Appalachia, check out the beginning of the episode of Inside Appalachia and find out what they say about festival season in Appalachia. You might even hear something very familiar on the episode. So just check it out. We'll post it in the show notes. You can hear that on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. On that radio station, it's at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays. But you can also hear the podcast anytime after Monday when it drops. So check it out. That's Inside Appalachia, the podcast from West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The final thing I wanted to mention that's in line with what we're talking about on the show, another article that I saw, five songs that remind you of growing up in Appalachia. So I wanted to ask you, Neil, if you know about these five songs and if they remind you of growing up.
Lord, here we go.
So the first one on the list, Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Oh, yeah. To a place.
Does make you think of Appalachia, I think, right? John Denver.
Oh, every time, every single time.
Another one, Fire in the Hole by Hazel Dickens.
I don't even know if I've ever heard that.
She's a bluegrass singer-songwriter, one of the beloved in Appalachia. I know you've heard this one, Shake the Frost by Tyler Childers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Good stuff. Everything he does is good.
You remind me of a Sunday back home in old Kentucky, with the church choirs just belting to the pines.
Yeah, I just play a little piece. Love that song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fox on the Run by Country Gentlemen. That's old school.
Yeah, it is very old school.
Definitely bluegrass. The last one on the list is one of my, so I think you know my favorite song of all time, Mountain Music by Alabama. But this one on the list ranks up there as well. And I wanted to hear your thoughts. Fishing in the Dark by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh yeah, that's a good jam. I love it. I hope you're gonna play some of this music for me soon.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
You and me. Yeah.
Hey, had to play that a little bit. One of my favorites. Definitely reminds me of Appalachia, but those are the five songs on the list. Obviously, we can debate whether those are the five songs, but that I'm sure those five songs make you think a little bit about Appalachia.
For sure. For sure. Love it.
And I wanted to mention that because of the guests that we're having on today. Kirsten Wilburn and Kristen Brown Norman from Shaping Our Appalachia Region to talk about the Country Music Highway Tribute Show. What do you know about the Country Music Highway, Neil?
Well, I know a little bit about it, being an old Kentuckian. So I'm really looking forward to today's episode and this interview we're about to do, because these girls, I'm sure, are going to give us lots of great insight for the events they got coming up.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why we wanted to have them on here to highlight what's going on in Eastern Kentucky with the Country Music Highway. And that Country Music Highway runs along US 23. Dozens of stars have come out of that region in regards to country music. A lot of the music that you've heard during this episode is either past stars or up-and-coming stars that they're going to be having at the tribute shows. But we want to give them a chance to talk about it, let everyone know exactly what it is. So you want to get them on here?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
When you're climbing up that mountain, sometimes you slip. Sometimes you fall, and those boulders come a crashing. You get trapped, lonely and lost, and you're laying in that valley, and you think, no one cares.
No one cares.
I know someone who will help you. Just praise his name, and he'll be there, and he'll roll that rock away.
On the show today, we have two special guests, Miss Kirsten Wilburn. She's the events coordinator at Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or what we like to call SOAR. Also, Kristen Brown Norman. She's the marketing and communications manager at SOAR. And for those of y'all that don't know, SOAR is a nonprofit that serves the 54 Appalachian counties in eastern Kentucky, with the mission to solve the deep-seated issue of population retention and growth in eastern Kentucky. But really, why we wanted to have them on the show today is we want to talk about a couple of events that they have going on this summer around the Country Music Highway in eastern Kentucky. That's US 23. They call it the Country Music Highway Tribute Show. But before we do that, we want to thank you guys for taking the time to really be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Like most Appalachians are big on history and tradition, Neil and I, our family, we're big on tradition as well. One of those traditions we have appetizers at the holidays. I mean, we have this gigantic spread of appetizers bigger than the meal. So we got to ask y'all, what's your favorite appetizer or maybe just holiday dish?
I'll start with this because right off the bat, I know what it is. Every Christmas, my mom makes what we call sausage stars. So it's a recipe we found on the back of a ranch bottle during the holidays one year. And it is wontons mixed with ranch, red peppers, and olives. And they are baked and crispy and so, so good.
They got to have that perfect crisp to them, though.
Yes.
Our sister makes them all the time, and they're fantastic. One of my favorites as well.
That sounds so good. I have like a more of a new age, like charcuterie is always who, like that is what I bring to the table for my family. So
can't go wrong.
Yeah. So different types of charcuterie boards is probably my go-to on every type of holiday.
With some cheese added in there, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. Cheese, different crackers. I like to try new things. So a spicy charcuterie versus like a sweet one, and like mix it all up with the jams are always the key. Red pepper jam is what is the key to a good charcuterie board.
So the red pepper jam, like over top of cream cheese, right?
Yes, that. And then on like a little tostini, like bread piece and some salami. Amazing.
Perfect. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So this is going to be a food episode, what we didn't tell you, instead of
I'm here for that.
Me too.
I mentioned the Country Music Highway tribute shows, which we are going to get into, but I first wanted to ask you guys, you know, just tell us a little bit about your roles at SOAR and what you do in and for the region.
Yeah, so I serve as our marketing and communications manager. So that is all about the storytelling aspect of the work that we're doing across Appalachia, and just kind of promoting all of the wonderful initiatives that are happening in our region. I started as a business and innovation champion, just kind of helping small business owners find their start and, you know, training them to kind of find success in their business. But I love this role. I love to talk. I love communicating with people and obviously with social media. So I'm loving it. And with the tribute show, man, it's work, but it's been fun to kind of put all that together.
Yeah. And I guess mine as the event coordinator is to take the stories that Kristen's trying to tell and put them on a big stage and present them to people. So we look at our events as an experience. We look at them as something that we put a spotlight on the people, the projects, you know, that are happening in Appalachia, and how can we get this to the masses? So that's kind of where our events go. I have the hosting gene from my great mom. She has always taught me that presentation matters. And if you're a good host, you're doing something right. So I think that's where the event side for me, like, I love seeing it all come together. And we have an amazing team that presents it well and executes it to the highest level.
I wanted to get into the Country Music Highway tribute show. You know, we've said a lot of many times on this show before, it's so important, and you all touched on it, important for an area, for a region, for a community to really celebrate their assets. And I think there's no bigger asset in Eastern Kentucky than its people, you know, and some of those people have lived along US 23, which is what is referred to as the Country Music Highway. There's a moniker around the highway which says it has produced more stars per square mile than any stretch of roadway in the world. And some of those names are Loretta Lynn, Crystal Gale, Chris Stapleton, Billy Ray Cyrus, Patti Loveless, The Judge, Ricky Skaggs, Keith Whitley, Dwight Yoakam. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I wanted to ask you guys, just what is the Country Music Highway and why the tribute shows? This is the second annual tribute show. Just why did SOAR want to put this on?
I think really when Chris and I sat down, we talk about this, you know, the heart behind the show. It is so much more than a music festival. And first and foremost, it is still a music festival, right? So we're celebrating the artists that come from the highway, both past the present ones who are on stage. But more importantly, we want to pour into the ones that are the future artists, the kids that are in the crowd that are dreaming of being on that stage and, you know, seeing the signs that they've seen all like their lives, the Country Music Highway signs. Like, it really does kind of develop this, you know, big musical dream. Like, if they did it, I could do it. And we really want to create a stage for that to happen. Something I'm most proud of is that a lot of the names you'll see on our lineups this year are also names that are on major festivals going on in Kentucky. You know, we're helping build their profile. They're helping us. And it's just a great music community. And if you're in the music community in Kentucky, you know, it's one big family. And that's been a really good privilege for Chris and I to step into as we plan this. But on the other side of it, it's really, how do we create a festival per se, or an event that not only benefits our city and communities where we're hosting it, but the region as a whole? Tourism and all of that stuff is great when it's like localized, but it's even better when it's regional. And that's really what the tribute show is all about, is that is a long stretch of highway. And there's a lot of people and a lot of communities that are affected by this tribute show, but also by the artists that came from those small communities. And we just are looking at ways how we connect them, connect communities, connect people who need to be connected, right? Like, they could do so much more if they just had an introduction to each other. And that's really the other side of the tribute show for us, is getting people in the right place at the right time and seeing what magic comes from it. So we're really looking forward to seeing what 2024 does.
Yeah. The Country Music Highway Tribute Show was kind of born at our SOAR Mini Summit a couple of years ago in Ashland, kind of as an idea of just entertainment for the event itself. Man, it has grown in the last 2 years tremendously. Last year, we hosted 3 shows. They were in Whitesburg, Paintsville, and Prestonsburg. And we had great community comments from that. They showed up and showed out. And we're so excited to keep moving this along US 23. And taking it to those communities within that region.
I mentioned a lot of the stars that have come from the Country Music Highway, But really, the tribute shows, like you pointed out, are about the up and coming stars, the soon to be stars. And you really wanted to highlight those. We had this podcast originally to dispel some of the misconceptions that people have about Appalachia. You know, the media portrays us in certain ways. It's really about telling a story and give people a voice that may not otherwise have a voice, which I think is what you all are doing in regards to the tribute shows. That being said, you know, the Country Music Highways touches seven counties, essentially, throughout U.S. 23. Other than the impact that it's going to have on the singers and the stars that are going to be there, what impacts do you hope it has on the counties and the communities by having these tribute shows?
Well, so it's more than just music. We have tons of food vendors that are coming in and sell, like, again, food, culinary. We had a great application response to that. So we have tons of food vendors that are coming in. We also have local arts and craft vendors that are going to be coming in and setting up at all of our shows. So it's exposing these communities to new business, new entrepreneurs. We're celebrating entrepreneurship in Appalachia. So we have vendors from the age of 11 all the way up to 77. Like, we help all of our entrepreneurs, no matter where they're at in the track. So we're really looking forward to bringing that into the communities on an economic impact side of things. And the other side is that even though you may live close to one of these communities, you maybe have never visited as a tourist or seen it from the eyes of a tourist. And I think that's a big point for us. We work with both the city and county tourism groups to put these shows on. And our big focus is, like, show us what your community have. And as we enter Russell, you know, that's really what we're looking forward to, seeing Russell through the eyes of a tourist. And even though it's in your backyard, maybe you'll get to experience things that you maybe would never have if you hadn't had this experience at the show.
11-year-old entrepreneur. I got to hear more about that sometime.
Yeah, she's our little lemonade queen out of Ashland. We're really excited about her. We'll have to maybe get her on the next podcast with us.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
We've talked about the impact, but we haven't even talked about, you mentioned Russell, but can you give our listeners, you know, the when and the where that the tribute shows are going to take place this summer?
Yeah. So our first one, our first stop on the series is in Russell, downtown Russell in Greenup County on June 1st. So that's a Saturday. It's going to be a fun Saturday for sure. Our next one is happening in Louisa, and that one is actually a two-day show. So it's a Friday night, Saturday show, and that is on July 2nd and 3rd. And then we are kind of wrapping up in Ashland in Boyd County on August 2nd and 3rd. So that's another Friday and Saturday show. So that's an exciting part of this is now we're having two-day shows. You know, last year we had one-day shows, and so that really speaks to the growth of the series itself.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you've already announced the lineup for the Russell show, right? Do you want to tell our listeners who, maybe give them a little touch of who's going to be at the Russell show?
Yeah. Again, going back to the mission behind it is we want to expose all ages. So we will start the day with a local choir series in every single location. So we're really looking forward to that. And then we've got a couple of names. Our headliner for Russell is Bobby and Teddy Cyrus. And it is so exciting to have them. They're so great. We got to hear Teddy sing at our gala a few weeks ago, and she's just wonderful. It's amazing. And yes, that is into the Billy Ray Cyrus family, which Billy Ray is obviously from Russell. So we are excited to have Bobby and Teddy attending as our headliner. We also have some regional acts. So we have Joe Clark.
I was raised up poor without no running water. I did my bath out of the well behind my house. I spend most of my time by the old Kentucky River. I'm as country as can be, there ain't no doubt.
He's kind of an up-and-coming artist. He is amazing. A little bit more folk rock vibes than traditional country. But one of the biggest things we've learned through this process is that country music is a very wide variety of types of music. We've got a local hometown boy, Jonathan Cox, who is actually from Greenup County.
Made of stone, that's what I used to be, till you came and rescued me and brought me out of the cold, took me home. But a fire in my soul warmed me up and made me feel like I wasn't alone.
And they are so excited to hear him on stage. But we've got all kinds of other people. We've got a couple duets. You can find that whole lineup on our website, cmhtributeshow.com. So you can see the full lineup there. But we're really, really excited to, you know, give them the stage and let them have the mic and take over.
I think one thing we failed to mention is that this isn't completely free for anyone that wants to attend. So logistically, what can people expect?
A real fun time, that's for sure. I mean, a free event with some rockin' headliners. You don't come across that very often. You know, we call it a festival style fun for the whole family. So bring the kids, pack up the lawn chairs, bring the dogs. We had a lot of dogs show up last year and that was a lot of fun. But we'll have activities for the kids. You know, it really is just fun for all ages.
And you mentioned country music is broad, but when people think about Appalachian music, they think about the traditional bluegrass music. You're also something new this year. You're going to be having a bluegrass block at each of the tribute shows. Can you just talk about that just for a minute?
Yeah. So our bluegrass block is actually sponsored by WellCare, and we greatly appreciate that partnership with them. Each show will have a different type of bluegrass band attend. And during the day, you'll just be able to get exposed to like a very heavy traditional bluegrass band. Some shows have two or three, some have more than that. So we're just really looking forward to shining a light on, like, you know, where did country music really start? And it was at that bluegrass root. Most of our artists can perform some traditional bluegrass music or have an instrument that they play that's a traditional bluegrass instrument. So it's really cool. The show is obviously evolving as music. It's evolving as well. But we do have that, you know, deep Appalachian bluegrass root still on stage at every single one of our shows this year.
I mentioned it was free, but you also have corporate sponsors. You also have a live auction that's going on right now. And 100% of those proceeds are going towards the performing arts in Eastern Kentucky. Is that correct? Can you talk a little bit about the auction and let our listeners know how they can check it out?
Yeah. So the silent auction was kind of an idea that sprung up last year with the show. And we had some incredible response from that, actually. So we had a lot of signed guitars. We have some experiences coming from some certain artists, show tickets and things like that. So again, you can find the silent auction on cmhtributeshow.com, but I'll let Kirsten speak a little bit more on the silent auction.
Yeah, well, nobody bid on the Billy Ray Cyrus guitar because I won it. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
Don't break her achy, breaky heart.
But we do. We have some awesome items. And I guess we failed to mention at the start of this, you know, that third tier of this is we are putting all of our proceeds back into local arts. We take this and we pour it right back into the community so that next Tyler Childers that's standing there watching this stage light up, building their dream, is like, I can do this. And so some of the ways that we do that is, you know, helping art programs stay up, sponsor scholarships to art camps, music camps, all of that good stuff. And by bidding and participating in the silent auction, you're helping do that as well. So just a few things. There's a Ricky Skaggs autographed Troublesome Creek string instrument, mandolin. So we're really excited about that. Winona Judd has autographed a guitar for us. We've got a pair of tickets to see Ricky Skaggs at the Ryman and so much more. And more added every single day. So we're really looking forward to seeing how that goes. That will stay up throughout all of our shows. So you've got plenty of time to get your bids in, but I would go ahead and get them in because you're definitely competing against me and Kristen on some of these things, I think.
Yeah. I know Neil wants to know the answer to this too. You know, you all attended last year. How much fun are the tribute shows? How much of a good time did you have last year? And how much of a good time do you expect to have this year?
Well, I can confirm that I walked a whole lot of miles last year, but it was all in the name of fun. I mean, we were honky-tonking, we were hoedowning. I mean, we were out there just having a blast, and we're there working the event. But again, as Kirsten said, we have such a great team. So it makes the work fun, and it makes it a lot easier to be out in a community all day interacting and putting on these shows. We are a small team. And so I think it's quite a feat to be able to put on events of this caliber. And I mean, last year was great. And our Facebook albums, if you go through and look at some of the pictures, there are people out in the front dancing. We've got kids drawing with chalk. I mean, it was just a blast.
Yeah. We're going to take the fun from last year and we're going to double it this year. So make sure you're a part of that.
Ultimate fun.
Yeah. And I think Kristen kind of understated what SOAR actually does. It really is a small team, and the top-notch events that you all put on, I mean, it's not only an incredible testament to SOAR, it's incredible for the region, how much you highlight Eastern Kentucky and the impact that can have, not only for the region, but for people outside the region to see, you know, what we're capable of. So we applaud you guys and commend you for all the hard work that you do to put these things together.
Yeah, thank and you. That's also a little Kirsten right there.
Oh, it is not just me. I can plan it, but it takes the team to execute it. And I have the best one to do that. So
tell us real quick where you're from. Tell our listeners where you're from and where your passion for that area and for small town Kentucky comes from.
I am originally from Carter County. So Olive Hill, home of Tom T. Hall, country music star.
Right.
Harper Valley PTA, I grew up singing that one over and over and over. Probably got on my mom's last nerve. But I moved to Moorhead for college, and so now that's where I'm at. And, you know, we have a great live music scene here in Moorhead as well. So honestly, live music is one of mine and my husband's favorite things to do on the weekends, is to go out and listen to some of the artists, which we're really excited to have some of our local artists and some of good friends of ours actually playing at the tribute show. So the synergy is there.
And I'm from Somerset, Kentucky, Pulaski County. Make sure you stop by Baxter's Coffee. I took Kristen there. So shout out to Baxter's. They fueled this whole thing. Trust me. Lots of cups of coffee.
I stop there every time I'm in town.
Yeah. But, you know, I always tell people, they're like, well, Somerset's not Appalachian. I'm like, oh, buddy, we are. So just because we're a little bit more west, it doesn't change anything. And, you know, the heart for me of, you know, pouring back into Appalachia is because it was such a great foundation for me to grow up on. I think back to my parents and grandparents and their grandparents, like, you know, instilling some of those like hosting genes, right? Or that hospitality that Appalachian people are, you know, born with, I think, in most parts. But I moved away from the state for 2 years and I said, I have to get home. So the Sunday best song I want to come home was like coming through my speakers as I entered Kentucky when I moved back. And SOAR has been a great place for me to land and be able to celebrate Appalachia and all the things that are, you know, that built us and made us who we were.
Neil and I say all the time, awesome. There's a little magic in the mountains. They always draw you back.
Yes, they do.
Neil likes to get deep on his questions. So we talked about your Appalachian roots, but I wanted to ask you just what's your favorite place or thing to do in Eastern Kentucky?
Oh,
Kristen with the eye roll. I love it.
I'm gonna say what everybody wants to say, and it's to eat. I'll tell you what, I am the most excited to try some of these food trucks at our shows. Every time I visit a new Eastern Kentucky area, I go for the local food every single time. Give me all of the recommendations, but that is my favorite thing to do over there, is to try these food, you know, see these businesses growing. And in our positions, we get to actually see like the family side of some of these long-term, you know, food establishments that are so good. So that is my favorite thing.
I'm an outdoorsy kind of girl, so I love to hike. We are lake dogs through and through also, but I know it's probably a common answer, but Red River Gorge is just a hop, skip, and a jump away for me from Moorhead. And so if we're looking for some fun outdoor activities, that's where we head to. And again, to touch on the food aspect, I mean, Miguel's Pizza, you cannot go wrong with that. So that's always a stop on our trips to RRG.
I'll take it a step a little deeper and ask you if you have a favorite country music star.
I don't think legally we can say that, right? As concert promoters now, we cannot say that.
All right, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I think I will say, Kristen, we might say the same people. It's not one that, you know, somebody we grew up with, right, is Sunday Best. And I remember being in high school when that band formed. I remember being in college when they were performing and really growing. And we're really excited. They're headlining Master Musicians Festival here, or not headlining, but they're playing in Master Musicians Festival here in Somerset this year. So I personally think that they are one of the best stars and groups. If I had to do a secondary, I'm going to go Tyler Childers all day, every day. Oh, I picked your... Okay, so we were the same on both, weren't we? Yeah.
Growing up with Sunday Best, that really was. I remember they played Carter County Thunder, which was our 4th of July festivities. And that was the first time I ever saw them live. And I was in high school. And to follow them as they grew and entered Nashville and the music scene, it's incredible. One of my biggest flexes in life is my husband and I had Nick Jamerson play at our wedding. So I think that makes really...
Whoa, yeah.
That's big time.
Wow. Yes. So our wedding song was actually Uneven Trade. So that's... my heart is with Sunday Best, but I mean, Tyler Childers, that's what's playing in my car always. So, you know, to see the Country Music Highway tribute show grow and, you know, hopefully we want to bring in those big stars too. We want to bring in Tyler Childers and Chris Stapleton kind of for that philanthropic effort of the highway. And so, you know, our hearts are in it. They really are.
I wanted to focus a little bit on Russell, Ashland, and Louisa, since that's where the tribute shows are. Because some of your tribute shows are 2 days now, what's the best place to stay in any of those places?
Yeah, well, so we believe in, again, the power of entrepreneurship. So if you can go local, go local, whether that's through Airbnb, VRBO, we have some great partnerships. Some of that stuff will be on our website as we get closer to the Louisa and Ashland show. A big shout out to the Winchester and the Delta Hotel in Ashland. They are great partners with us. So we always encourage people to check them out. But yeah, if you can go local, that's what we would suggest. And if not, there's all kinds of places that will be posted on our website to help you navigate, you know, where to stay after all the fun is had.
Yeah, there's some beautiful riverfront Airbnbs in Russell that, I mean, the views are incredible.
Russell, Ashland, Louisa, do you have a favorite place to eat in any one of those locations if people are thinking about eating at a restaurant?
Ooh.
So I will say in Russell, you cannot miss Aridness Brewing. Can beer be a food? I don't know.
Absolutely. It's hops. There's wheat in it, right?
So they are a local microbrewery there right on the railroad tracks in downtown Russell. Just the cutest spot. They also have some handcrafted teas, wine, slushies, all the good stuff. So if you're driving into downtown Russell, that's going to be one of the first things you come to. So make a stop there. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, they're going to be actually a pop-up vendor at our event, and their tap room will stay open as well throughout the whole Russell show. So they're really engulfed in our efforts in Russell on June 1st, and I'm so excited. We're actually eating lunch and having a beer tomorrow to celebrate our hard weeks with them. So we're looking forward to that. I haven't spent a lot of time in Louisa, but I will say that the Three Sisters Cafe, they are amazing. We work with them on a lot of events, so definitely check them out. They have some coffee shops there as well, and this is all partnered through the umbrella of the Addiction Recovery Care, who is one of our presenting sponsors, the 2024 Country Music Highway Tribute Show, as long with Kentucky Power, which brings me to Ashland. And I will say the Mill has the best truffle fries in downtown Ashland. I dream about those often. So those are my recommendations. But again, I'm open to hearing more.
I think Kirsten would trade her paycheck in and get paid by truffle fries from the Mill if that were an option.
Yeah, Brandy Clark maybe can help me on that. So we'll see what she can do.
I love having quick fire questions with communications and coordinators, because they are never quick and they are never rapid. So thank
you're hitting
you.
That mute button.
I wanted to ask one last quick question for both of you. Cornbread or biscuits?
Cornbread.
Well, that depends on the meal, though.
Cornbread.
Okay. What meal then? What meal does it depend?
Well, obviously, if we're going with cornbread, I need some soup beans, salmon patty, sauerkraut, you know, all that. And then biscuits.
Now you're after Will.
I like some good apple butter with a biscuit. So, you know, it depends on the meal. But Now, a biscuit with apple butter is a good late night snack for me.
Always interested to hear what people say when we ask this question, but what's the first thing that you think about, or what pops in your brain first when you hear the word Appalachia?
I have to say just the kindness of our people. You know, if I were to go out and be talking about Appalachia and trying to bring others here, I would talk about our people and how kind and welcoming and just so selfless. We're always willing to lend a hand. And I'll touch on this. I always think about going to a funeral. This is kind of sad, but going to a funeral in a small town, when the hearse drives by in a small town, everyone pulls over. If you're in a large city, that does not happen. And so I just always think back to that, the respect and kindness that we all carry in our day-to-day lives.
I will go with people as well, but I'll go on the other side. Not that I definitely agree with Kristen, but honestly, like the grit behind people, the work ethic, the ability to always make a way. You always show up for people. And that's something I think that Appalachia comes from. You know, there's always a neighbor with an open door. There's always a coworker willing to have a helping hand. And, you know, once you move away and you come back, you just really, you miss the people that smile at you or wave at you or, you know, that say hi in the grocery store. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is like, Appalachia has always been built on people finding a way and making their own way. And I think that's something that is so beautiful about our region and that we get to celebrate in our jobs every single day.
So great. Like we said before, there's no better asset in Appalachia than the people, and especially in Eastern Kentucky.
It's good to hear that it still happens on the outskirts of Eastern Kentucky over there in Pulaski County too, Will.
On the left coast.
Yeah, we're the west coast of Appalachia, I think, in Somerset. Yeah, maybe I'm already in Hollywood, the Kentucky Hollywood. We're the west coast.
Yeah, for sure.
We ground our podcast on place. You kind of already touched on this answer, but we ground our podcast on place and perspective. Place, it's really important for Neil and I and our family, but it's really important for Appalachia. So we wanted to ask you, just where do you call home? What makes it home for you? What makes it unique?
So home for me is actually Woodstock, Kentucky. I am sitting in the house that my great-grandmother and grandfather built, and that I got the privilege to restore. So in the little north of Pulaski County, this town, it's home for me. It's where I remember running through the fields or jumping in the Jeep to go fishing or, you know, just chasing the cows through the field as a young kid. And I get to now raise my niece and nephew here in that same home and in those same fields. So for me, that's home and perspective. You know, if you would have asked 18-year-old Kirsten, where would you be living? She probably would have said New York or, you know, California or somewhere like that. And I'm so glad that present day Kirsten is saying Woodstock, Kentucky and in Appalachia.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that sentiment. You know, I could have ended up anywhere. I had a lot of college dreams to get out of Appalachia, but I ended up staying at Moorhead, which is just one county over from my home of Carter County. But even though it was one county away, moving here was a big step for me. I'm very family oriented. I'm an only child, so I love my parents so much. Coming to Moorhead and being welcomed and just feeling comfortable to make it my home was just incredible. And again, that touches on the people here. You know, we always lend a helping hand. And so much like Kirsten, I'm so glad that I decided to stay in Appalachia. And that's always our goal with what we do at SOAR. We want young people to realize that they don't have to leave Appalachia to be successful. I thought that. I thought I would have to leave to get the dream job I wanted or to live the dream life. But I'm living the dream right here in Round County. And I am so thankful for that.
Yeah. And I think your guys' podcast does that too, right? Like you're kind of breaking down the barriers and showing. And so whether it's a career, whether it's a trade, or whether it's you're just finding your own way, you know, you can do that in those mountains. And like you said, well, they have magic. So you'll wake up one day and you'll realize that you have it all.
We definitely appreciate those answers. We want to give a last time for you to let our listeners know it's June 1st. July 12th and 13th, August 2nd and 3rd. Put those dates on your calendar. But where can people find out more again and check it out?
Yeah, so they can visit cmhtributeshow.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at cmhtributeshow. We're pretty easy to find. And a cool thing we implemented this year actually is a Spotify playlist of all of our great artists that are going to be playing at our various shows. And you can also find that by searching on Spotify for CMH Tribute Show.
We will definitely put that in the show notes as well. We just want to thank you guys for being on the show. I can personally attest that y'all kill it at all your events and all the things that you put on, all the work that you do, not only for SOAR, but for the region as a whole, for Appalachia as a whole. So thank you so much. I have no doubt that these tribute shows will be the highlight of the summer for anyone that attends. Like I said, you all crush it. You all kill it. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Toby said it best back then. I wish I was a cowboy when I was 10. Tearing up the backyard like a bunch of outlaws on the road.
Will, great stuff from Kristen and Kirsten. Such a pleasure to have them on the show today. And I hope all of our guests enjoyed it, or all of our listeners enjoyed it as well. Lots of great stuff with the events that they're hosting this summer. And I hope to be able to attend one of them.
Yeah, the fact that it's free is pretty amazing for the region. But what they do, it's really important for the region as well, just to highlight not only the success, but to highlight what our region has to offer, even beyond the music, like they both mentioned, just highlighting the entrepreneurs, the food, the beauty of the region. What they're doing there, what SOAR's doing in the region to highlight that country music highway, to highlight the assets, is just really cool, really phenomenal for not only the region, but Appalachia in general.
Yeah, for sure. Again, thanks to Kristen and Kirsten for coming on and telling the masses about what's going on. I hope you listeners out there will follow up with all the information that they provided and make a conscious effort to get over and check things out.
Yeah, definitely. Check out that website. They do an incredible job. I wanted to ask you, Neil, like we do every week, we have an app biz of the week. Do you have an app biz for us this week?
Well, I think we should just highlight some cities while we got the opportunity. Those three cities that Kristen talked about and they mentioned earlier, Russell, Louisa, and Ashland, Kentucky, for hosting these unique events this year. And I think it would be just a great time to highlight those cities and towns in deep East Kentucky. So hopefully you're okay with that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We'll just put a link to all those resources in the show notes for those three cities, Louisa, Ashland, and Russell in Eastern Kentucky. So we want to thank Kirsten and Kristen for being on again. And without further ado, Neil, we can end it like we usually do. Till next time.
Peace.
In the deep dark hills of Eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I traced my bloodline, and it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, you'll never mountains till a man from the north and selling, and old granddad knew what he'd do to survive. He went and dug for hard and cold and sent the money back to grandma, but he never left Harlan alive. Where the sun comes up about 10 in the morning, and the sun goes down about 3 in the day, and you fill your cup with whatever bitter brew you're drinking, and you spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave.